Okay, so let's start with Lenny's question, but slightly differently. If I asked you to rank the four fasts, right? The four fasts are a group. Let's do it this way. There's Yom Kippur, obviously a fast that's Dough Rice, so that's 25 hours with all the five Inuyim. There's Tanis Esther, which doesn't really make the cut, meaning it's a fast, but it's not on the level of the other four. And then there are four. There's Tisha B'Av, Shivaser B'Tammuz, Tzom Gedalia, and Asar B'Teves. So I don't need to ask you, but if I did, I know the answer, right? The first one is obviously Tisha B'Av, and that makes complete sense because Tisha B'Av, for whatever reason, we're not going to discuss it today, is 25 hours, does have the five Inuim, so it mimics the fast of Yom Kippur, even though it's clear that Tisha B'Av is not a D'oraisa fast, but okay, it's important. After that, I suppose you would say Shivaser B'Tammuz, just because it starts the 3 weeks and it seems like, that has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. But tied for last will be Tzom Gedalia and Asar B'Teves. Tzom Gedalia is always moved because Gedalia was assassinated on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah, so we move that. And Asar B'Teves is not moved, but the question that Lenny asks is a good question. And the question is why? Asar B'Teves seems to be so low down in importance that, why wouldn't you move it? Why is it that, at least in theory, and we'll discuss this more in a few minutes, at least in theory, and it's really unbelievable, if Asar B'Teves fell out on Shabbos, we'll see inside that you'd have to fast on Shabbos. Okay, I'm not saying it's accepted by everybody, but that's certainly the idea. Now, let's do another point of introduction. What's so bad about fasting on Shabbos? Anybody? Why would we?
You have
Why
a
are we so offended by that?
halacha of tanug, and
Big Shabbos.
that you
Okay, good. So there are poskim who refer to fast. The Rambam seems to say that fasting on Shabbos is an issur d'oraisa. You took a neder to fast on Shabbos. You'd be masna al mashikasu b'Torah, but the Rambam, of course, doesn't tell us why or how. It's not clear exactly why it would be an issur d'oraisa, but of course, Henry's right. It's got to be an issur d'rabbanan, or maybe okay. Let's just say it's an issur d'rabbanan to fast on Shabbos. Okay, now the four fast days are certainly mid'rabbanan and probably midivrei Kabbalah. And midivrei Kabbalah, I don't mean like Kabbalistic. I mean it's from Nach, not from the tough part of Nach, not from the Torah, but from Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And so if we start. No, that's not it. Sorry. Let's try this. Okay, if we start in the first source, the Pasuk in Zechariah says, Ko amar Hashem Tzvakot. Tzom ha-Revi'i, v'tzom ha-Chamishi, v'tzom ha-Shivi'i, v'tzom ha-Asiri. Revi'i is what? Revi'i, tzom ha-Revi'i, the fourth month, is what?
This month?
The fourth month.
Shiva Subatama.
Thank you very much. We weren't going to go on until somebody got that, right? Tzom ha-Revi'i is Shiva Subatama. Tzom ha-Chamishi is Tish'a B'Av. Tzom ha-Shivi'i is Tzom Gedalia, and Tzom HaAsiri is Asar B'Teves. Says the Navi, Yihyeh LeBeit Yehuda L'Sason L'Simcha U'LeMoadim Tovim V'Amet V'Hashalom Mehavu. These are going to be holidays one day. It's going to be great. Okay, so that's a very hard, it's a very enigmatic Pasuk. It's hard to sort out. But what's clear in the Pasuk is that all four fast days sort of have the same halachic status. And their halachic status, we would say, is what we would normally call midivrei Kabbalah, which is somewhere beneath a d'oraisa, but above a drabanan. Why? Because it's a pasuk in Nach. Now, just in theory, let's say fasting on Shabbos is drabanan, as most people think. Why wouldn't it be the case that a divrei Kabbalah, which in theory is a slightly above a drabanan, why wouldn't a divrei Kabbalah be docha drabanan? Or even if you think that Shabbos is, it's also the fast on Shabbos, be divrei Kabbalah, right? Probably it is divrei Kabbalah because it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. right? What does the pasuk say? V'daber davar. That's the pasuk. What, how does it start? Huh? Asor chavsa b'yom kachivi. Right. V'hitanag al Hashem. So kavod and oneg come from that pasuk. So why wouldn't we say asay docha lo sasay? And the asay of divrei kabbalah is docha lo tasay. Okay, these are things that are interesting to me. Probably the answer to that is that fasting on Shabbos is like the Rambam thinks a doraisa, but it's not at all clear. And certainly, even if it were the case that the asay of fasting would be technically be docha the lo tasay, okay, but if you could avoid that conflict, you should. And if there's no reason why moving a fast shouldn't happen, so better to move a fast than to fast on Shabbos. But before we get into all the halachos, let's do a little history. Source number two says the pasuk in Malachim Bet Perek Chaf Dalet. Why in the world do we fast on Asar B'Teves? Says the pasuk, Vayavo Nevuchadrezzar, Nevuchadnezzar, I guess Melech Bavel Al Ha'ir Va'Avadav Tzarim Alal. So Nevuchadnezzar comes and more or less starts a siege. Now, Vayetze Yehoyachin Melech Yehuda al Melech Bavel, Hu Ve'imova Avadav V'Sarav V'Sarisav Vayikach Oto Melech Bavel Bishnat Shmone L'Malcho. They say Yehoyachin, who was not a good king, Yehoyachin doesn't listen to Yirmiyahu, doesn't listen to other true Nevi'im, doesn't listen to God, and the Nevi'im, Yirmiyahu and God are telling Yehoyachin, it's too late. Nebuchadnezzar is going to win. You should just accept it and worship him. Yehoyachin says no. And in the eighth year of his reign, he rebels against Nebuchadnezzar. It's very easy. The Nebuchadnezzar puts it down immediately and sends him to Bavel. Vayotzei misham et kol otzrot beit Hashem v'otzrot beit hamelach v'yekatzeit et kol kolei hazahav asher asah Shlomo melech Yisrael b'echal Hashem. And just as God had said would happen, you know, Nebuchadnezzar basically destroys a lot of the kelim from the Beis Hamikdash. And here it comes, Yudalit v'higla et kol Yerushalayim ve'et kol hasarim ve'et kol giborei hachayil aseret alafim goleh v'chol hecharash v'hamasker lo nishar zulat dalat am haaretz. What happens is as follows. This is the first galus of Yehoyachin. Right? All of the upper class, Talmidei Chachamim, Kohanim, leaders of the Jewish people, the Charash v'hamasker, as the Pasuk says, that's a euphemism for the doctors and the lawyers, we would say in our time, even though that's probably not a smart thing to say. Okay? And they get sent to Bavel. Vayogel et Yehoyachin Bavela v'et Eim HaMelech v'et Nishe HaMelech v'et Sarisav v'et Eilei Haaretz Holich Golam Yerushalayim Bavela. Okay, so they get sent to Bavel. And Nebuchadnezzar doesn't really do anything after that. He thinks he's put down the rebellion. Vayamlech melech Bavel et Matanya Dodo. The new puppet king is his uncle, Matanya. Vayasev et Shimo Tzidkiyo. But he gives him a new name. Tzidkiyo is really Nebuchadnezzar's uncle. Okay, once again, God tells Tzidkiyahu, once again, God tells Tzidkiyahu to leave Nebuchadnezzar alone, not to rebel, and to accept the punishment because Jewish people have been sinful. But he doesn't do it. Vayas hara be'inei Hashem kechol asher asa Yehoyakim. He is as evil as Yehoyachin. Ki al af Hashem hayta b'Yerushalayim u'b'Yehuda ad hishlicho otam al panav vayimrod Tzidkiyahu b'melech Bavel. So we brought it upon ourselves. Tzidkiyahu rebels against Melech Bavel, and Melech Bavel says, fine, if you're going to rebel against me, you know, I would have let you stay as a banana state, but if you're going to rebel against me, I'm going to come and destroy you and destroy the Beis HaMikdash.
Eli, this,
yes?
this galus, the galus of Yechoniah, it looks pretty bad, but it wasn't total unmitigated disaster, because the Tanakh says later on that when the second galus happened, they already had an infrastructure in Bavel from these Charoshim Asgers that had been exiled previously. So there was, you know, it was a Peronus, but it was preparing itself for what was going to come later.
It's like you're asking me to disagree with you. Yes, but they were in Bavel. It's like saying, Jews had
It's like,
infrastructure.
it's no, it's like Yosef, who was said, tells Yaakov, I was sent to Mitzrayim to prepare for you guys so that, yes, you're going to have this horrible cause, but it would have been even worse had I not been there.
Okay, so I don't want to argue with you about better or worse or whatever. You're right. The Charash and Masker went to Babel, and they created a beautiful community, much like the one you live in. The only thing is, it's in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, fine. Let's go on. Now, what happens? Third source says the Pasuk, Vahi Bishnat Hatishi'it Lemalcho, in the ninth year of his reign, B'chodesh Ha'asiri Be'asor L'chodesh, the 10th month, that's Teves, the 10th of the month. That's Asar B'Teves. B'Nevuchadnetzar Melech Bavel Hu V'chol Chelo Al Yerushalayim V'yichan Aleha V'yivnu Aleha Dayek Saviv. King Nevuchadnetzar comes on Asar B'Teves and he builds siege towers, and that's the day that we commemorate. And presumably we commemorate it, at least in part, because that's the day that the siege begins. That's certainly what they teach you when you're a kid. V'tavo ha'ir b'matzor Ad ashtei esrei shana lemelech tzidkiyahu. This is just it's a side point, but it's important. Often we think, okay, the siege started on Asar B'Teves, and then, you know, then on Shivasar B'Tamuz they broke through the walls, and then Tisha B'Av the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. No, you see in the pasuk, it took 2 years. I don't know why I find that interesting, but I do. The siege started on Asar B'Teves. They lasted till the next Asar B'Teves, till the next Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. They lasted 19 months or 20 months, you know, and then all the bad things happened. Okay? So that's the story. It's in the Psukim. On the 10th of Teves, Nebuchadnezzar started the siege of Jerusalem that ended in the end with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash.
It wasn't 2.5 years?
Could it be?
1.5 years.
Ashtei Esrei is 11, and they started in the ninth year. I think it's a year and 2/3,
yeah.
But I'm not 100% sure. Okay, but something else happened on that day, and this is fascinating. Source number 4, Pasuk in Yechezkel. Remember, Yechezkel got sent out in the first Galus, right? So he's part of the Charash and the Masker. He's in Bavel already with all the people who are in Bavel. Vayhi dvar Hashem elai bashana hatishiit, right? Same exact year. Bachodesh ha'asiri, same exact month. Be'asor lachodesh, same exact day. Lemor. Ben Adam, kisav lecha et shem hayom hazeh, write down the name of the day, meaning Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, at etzem hayom hazeh, the date. Samach Melech Bavel al Yerushalayim be'etzem hayom hazeh. So twice the Torah says, twice the Navi says be'etzem hayom hazeh. But what just happened? What happened was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yechezkel and told him, at this exact moment, on this exact date, at this exact time, Nebuchadnezzar has begun the siege of Jerusalem. Now, why is that significant? First of all, you know, there were no phones, right? There was no internet. For Yechezkel to write that down and to show the people, it means when somebody comes one day, when the Palit comes, when a refugee comes from Yerushalayim and tells them, you know, it started on the 10th of Teves, the people are going to say to Yechezkel, wow, how did you know that? The answer is because I'm a Navi. And the answer is because God appeared to me and he told me that. And not only did he tell me that, he told me to write it down. At etzem hayom hazeh samach melech bavel yishalayim be'etzem hayom hazeh. You can't miss the fact that etzem hayom hazeh is mentioned twice, and the Radak is going to say more beautifully than me what I just said. Source number 5. Ben Adam kisov lecha et shem hayom hazeh etzem hayom hazeh hanevuah ba'alo ba'asara b'tevet sheba'oto yom samach melech bavel al yishalayim. Va'amar lo sheyichtov oto hayom v'yira'e livnei hagola. So the Radak says something that's not in the pasuk. Don't just write the date down, but then show it to everybody who was in galus with you. Ki ba'oto hayom samach melech bavel. Ukishiyishmu achar kein mi piha magidim ki kachaya ba'oto hayom atzmo. And when refugees start to come to Bavel and they give him, they tell the people the date, yedu ki navi haya b'tocham, they'll know not just that Yechezkel's a navi, but he's a true navi. Ve'emet heim divarav. And what he's prophesying is true. She'omer lohem b'shem Hashem ve'lo yishmud od el nevi'ei hasheker. Right? Even at this late date, the nevi'ei hasheker are still challenging Yirmiyahu and challenging Yechezkel and saying, no, 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 hechal Hashem, hechal Hashem, hechal Hashem, God would never destroy his own house. And the Radak says, no, God told Yechezkel this so that people would really believe him and understand that he's a true Navi. As an aside, I'm not saying that the people were silly or stupid for following Hananiah ben Azur and who we think of as the bad guys. I often think to myself, I would have done the same thing. You have one Navi saying, no, God is going to save us in the end. You have another Navi saying, no, 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 God's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It's no big surprise that the people sided with the Nevi'im who are giving them an optimistic message. Okay. Now, another point to recognize here is that Yechezkel had been in radio silence from God. We'll come back to this in a few minutes. But God had told Yechezkel, you know, there's no real reason for me to give you Nevuah because people don't believe you anyway. And all of a sudden, after a few years, God for the first time appears to Yechezkel, and this is the first Nevuah on Asar B'Teves. So something must have changed at that point in time. Okay. Let's move on. Let's do some halacha now. It turns out that despite the psukim that we looked at that make it clear that something significant happened on Asar B'Teves, it's still a big machlokas. It's a machlokas tanaim, what the right date for the fast is. Look at source number 6, Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Yud Ches Amud Bet. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Amar Rab Shimon, Arba'a Divarim, Haya Rabbi Akiva Doresh, Va'ani Ein Doresh Kimoto. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rashbi, says, there are four drushes that Rabbi Akiva has, and I disagree with him on the four. One of them is the following. He, Rabbi Akiva Darshan, Somha Asiri, Ze Asara B'Tevet, and our reason, Shebo Samach Melech Bavel Al Yushalayim, because that's the day that Nebuchadnezzar started the siege, Shenemar, Vahidva Hashem Alay Bashana Tishiit, Bachodesh Asiri, Basar Lachodesh Neymar, Ben Adam, Ksav Lachad Shem Ayom Hazeh, Et Etzem Ayom Hazeh, Samach Melech Bavel Al Yushalayim. So it's fascinating, by the way, that he quotes a pasuk from Yechezkel to prove that the siege began on Asar B'Teves. He doesn't quote a pasuk from Malachim. Right? The pasuk in Malachim tells you the story. Okay, but that's a side point. Va'amai kari le asiri. Wait, why is it called the 10th? So my answer is obviously, asiri lechadashim, because it's in the 10th month. Wait, v'halo haya ra'ui ze lichtov rishon. But historically, Asar B'Teves comes first, right? Of the four fast days, historically, the first event that happened was the beginning of the siege. So why doesn't it come first? V'lama nichtav kan. Answers the Gemara, or answers Rabbi Akiva, kidei lahastir chadashim kitikunan. No, because the months should be set up in their proper order. And if you quote the fasts, not in their historical order, but in the order of the months, so Shivasar B'Tammuz comes first, then Tisha B'Av, then Tzom Gedalia, then Asar B'Teves. Says Rashbi, second to last line, Va'ani Eini Omer Kein. I don't think so. Ela Tzom Ha'asiri Zechamisha B'Teves. Shebo Ba'a Shmuel Ligola Shehukta Ha'ir. That's the day that the Gola, meaning the people who had been sent away in the first Golos to Bavel, that's when they found out that the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed. Shenemar Vayehi Bishtei Esrei Shana Ba'asiri B'chamisha L'Cholosh L'Galutenu on the 5th of Teves Bo Elai HaPolit Me'Yushalayim L'Mor Hukta Ha'ir. Okay, so that's when they got the word that the Beis Hamikdash had been destroyed. Va'asu yom shimua ki yom sreifa. Right, and we all have the same question. Okay, that's the day they got the word, but that's not the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Says Rashbi, no, they made the day that they heard as bad as the day of the actual destruction. And now, this seems like a bit of an iffy point for Rashbi, except when you realize that the day of destruction itself was under debate, right? The debate was, should we fast on the 9th, which is the day that they lit the Beis HaMikdash on fire, or should we fast on the 10th, which is the day that the majority of the Beis HaMikdash burned, right? So here the Gemara is saying, it's not really the historical moment. It's the moment the people found out. And says Rashbi, v'nirin divarai midvarav, I think I'm right. How does this help? Why? She'ani omer al rishon rishon v'al acharon acharon. Because my order works. Meaning, Asar B'Teves is the last of the four fests historically because they didn't find out till the next year. Right? There wasn't such travel and most of the Jews had been wiped out. And so there weren't a lot of refugees who got to Bavel to tell them what happened. V'hu omer al rishon acharon. But he says Asar B'Teves comes last, but it's counted first. I'm sorry, Asar B'Teves comes first, but it's counted last. V'al acharon rishon. He's got the order wrong. Ela shehu moneh l'seder chadashim. Rabbi Akiva counts according to the order of the months. V'ani moneh l'seder puranios. But I count according to the order of the events, according to the historical order.
Okay? Chronologically,
thank you. Right. So, obviously, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. But Rashbi's Shita is something we want to spend some time thinking about. Because, okay, the 5th of Teves isn't such a big deal, and who cares? But the fact that we're going to choose the date that they heard about the destruction over the date that the actual destruction happened, right? That's pretty surprising. It's very surprising. So you could say, you know, I'd like to say, and I don't know that I'm right, but it strikes me that sometimes the pshat ought to be as follows. Well, you know, let's wait a second. We'll come back to it for a second.
Ellie?
Yes.
Maybe I'm just confused here, but they heard that it was going to happen on the 10th?
No, they heard on the 10th of Teves, originally, according to Rabbi Akiva, right, or according to the Pesukim in Yechezkel, Yechezkel got a Nevuah saying that Nebuchadnezzar was beginning the siege of Jerusalem. Nothing about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but that was a significant event, okay? 2.5 years later, on the 5th of Teves, or 2 years later maybe, no, it's the 12th year. 3 years later, on the 10th of Teves, on the 5th of Teves, they got the word that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And they mourned. Okay, but they're two different events.
Okay, thank you.
So Rabbi Akiva says it's the first event that we fast. It's the siege. Rashbi says, no, it's the last event. And my proof is because then the Pasuk goes in chronological order. Right? Otherwise, it doesn't. Okay. Now, there's a fascinating Minchas Chinuch, which maybe 15 years ago we did together in Teaneck, but he has a really original idea, which will answer our first question, right? Our first question was, why in the world is it also to fast on Shabbos, right? Why don't we just say that Divrei Kabbalah beats out a Drabbana or something like that? Now, the Minchas can answer a lot of questions, but he has an unbelievable shita. Look at source number 7. Says the Minchas Chinuch. This is not on the sheet that we sent out because I just found it this morning. Vahanira la anias daiti. V'nafgamina ledidan. It's a big nafgamina. Gamkein. Didalid somot halalu midivre kabbalah. Ein nikva lahem yom miyuchad. It's an unbelievable thing. He says, yes, we have four fast days, Midivrei Kabbalah, but we don't know the exact date, Yud Teves, O Tisha B'Av Uchadomeh, Rak HaDivrei Kabbalah Hu, Al Eilu HaChadashim, Dibiteves v'tamuz v'av v'tishrei mechuyavim lehitanot bohem yom echad. You're commanded to fast one day in those months. Avalon nityached yom miyuchad, rak eze yom sherotze yuchal lehitanot. Right? Unbelievable. You can fast on any day. Don't worry. Is it the 9th of Av? Is it the 10th of Av? Just fast one day. Rak be'elu achadashim. The proof, he says, is the bepasuk eino mevuar eze yom klal. Rak soma rivii v'tsoma chamishi v'tsoma asiri. Right? It's a really good proof. Zechariah doesn't tell you what day to fast. He just tells you it's the fast of the 10th. That means a day in Teves. It's the fast of the 4th. That means a day in Tammuz. Dehainu achadashim. Aval lo be'eze yom. Okay, so that's the chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. Now, how does it apply to us? So he says, va'avi lecha od ra'ayot brurot bezrat Hashem yitbarach. He's got a lot of proofs. It's a long Minchas Chinuch. We'll just do this one. Dehine sham b'Rosh Hashanah, and the Gemara that we just saw in the previous source in Rosh Hashanah, pligi Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon, rise of machlokes. Rabbi Akiva sovert som ha'asiri hainu asara b'tevet. Shebo somach melech bavel. That's today. V'Rab Shimon bar Yochai omer, no. Zechamisha b'tevet sheba'a shimua legola. Okay, that's the machlokes we know. Now he's going to pound us. V'kasha. Dehem hayu tekef la'achar churban ki yadua. They lived right after the churban. Umay pligi. How could they possibly have had a machlokes? Huk chaze ma'am adabar. Go outside and see, what are people doing? What day are they either making a yantif for Asar B'Teves, because the base image was rebuilt, or what day are they fasting? Umahayu osin b'bayisheni. Da'az hayas sason v'simcha. He says during bayisheni there was a holiday. Be'eze yom hayu osin u'bayisheni hayu tana'im be'sham u'be'sil v'yotem mekablei atarah v'her shachachu adavar. Says the Minchas Chinuch, how is it possible that people didn't know what day the fast was? Everybody fasted, and if they didn't fast, they made a holiday. How could it be? Says the Minchas Chinuch, he doesn't say this, but I'll explain for him. The answer is, it wasn't a particular day. Everybody fasted on a day that was convenient for them. Or everybody made a yontif on a day that was convenient for them. But there was no unified fast day. Yes, Chazal then came, Tanaim came, and they established Tisha B'Av on the 9th, and Shivasu B'Tammuz on the 17th, right? And Asar B'Teves on the 10th. But until that time, and the Minchas Chinuch later on compares it very much to Hiskin Rabbi Avo B'Kisri about how we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And Rishonim asked, wait, till Rabbi Avo B'Kisri, we didn't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? What are you talking about? So the answer that the Rishonim give is no. Of course we blew shofar, but you blew tashat and I blew tarat and somebody else blew tashrat. It didn't matter. We were all blowing shofar. Rav B'Kisri said no. We need to unify how we're blowing shofar on Shabbos on Rosh Hashanah. Similarly, the Tanaim came and said no. It's true. Till now, according to the Minchas Chinuch, people fasted on whatever day they wanted, but now we're going to establish the fast on a particular day. Okay, the Minchas Chinuch is not widely accepted, but it's very useful for our issue, right? We asked, what's wrong with fasting on Shabbos? Why isn't it nidche al yidei the fast? That's midire kabbalah. So the Minchas Chinuch would say, why would you be doche Shabbos if the fast could be fasted on any day? Right? If the original takana was, you know, soma revi'i, v'tsoma chamishi, v'tsoma shvi, v'tsoma asiri, there any day in the month, well then why would you pick Shabbos to be the day in the month that you're going to fast on? It doesn't make any sense. And it happens to be that the Minchas Chinuch, you know, it's a good application of this halacha, this idea that the Minchas Chinuch has. I think he's the only one who has it, that you could have picked any day of the month to fast on. There's some good proofs to it. And maybe this is the best of the proofs, not just that why is there a machlokas? Just go out in the street and see what people are doing. It's that, no, because people could do any day, which is why it's not going to be Docha Shabbos. Because if I told you, you have to fast any day in the month of Av, you wouldn't pick Shabbos to be the day that you fast on. Okay, is that clear? We're good? Okay.
Ellie,
yes.
The secondary reasons that we have for the fast, Ezra's yahrzeit and stuff like that, does that come into play at all in determining this issue?
Absolutely. First of all, I thought Ezra's yahrzeit was the 9th. No, it's the 10th?
Correct. No, it's the 9th.
Right,
and translating the Torah.
Right, so the Gemara, right, so the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th are 3 days at Choshech Bala Olam because they translated the Torah. But none of that get any play in the halachic discussion about Asar B'Teves. Asar B'Teves obviously stands on its own. Okay? Now, let's go to source number, I guess it's 8 on yours. But yeah, it's right here. Says the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Vayhi b'shtei esrei shana ba'asiri ba'a. We did it. Yeah, okay. That's the Pasuk we read in the Gemara. On the 5th day, this is Reshbi. Okay, fine. Go to the next source. Va'ata ben Adam. Hine. Ooh, let me find it. I'm sorry. I've got to scroll. Va'ata ben Adam. Hine natnu alecha avotim va'asarucha bahem v'lo teitzei b'tocham. The people have metaphorically at least tied you up, and you're not going to go out, and you're not going to be a Navi for them. U'lishoncha adbik el chikecha. Right, it's a cool phrase. What does it remind you of? Tidbak lishoni lechikecha. I'm going to, you know, your tongue will be stuck, will cleave to the roof of your mouth. V'ne'elamta, you'll disappear. V'lo tihiye lohem le'ish mochiach ki beit meri hema. They won't have a Navi. They won't have anybody who tells them what to do because they're a house in rebellion. Ki beit meri hema. U'bidabri otcha eftach et picha v'amarta lehem koma Hashem hashomea yishma v'hechadel yechdal ki beit meri hema. And when I eventually come back and give you a nevuah, you should tell them, whoever wants to listen to me can listen to me. Whoever doesn't want to listen to me doesn't have to listen to me. Right? The point is, and it's a bigger point, I just didn't put all the psukim down, so we won't be able to develop it. God tells Yechezkel, there's no reason for me to give you nevuah if no one's going to listen to you. Right? And that's the history. No one listened to them. That's how they got into Golos in the first place. And apparently, even in Golos, they didn't believe the Navi. Even after all the nevuahs about the Golos happened, they still didn't believe him. But when does God come to Yechezkel? He comes to him on Asar B'Teves, the first Asar B'Teves, the day that the siege began. It's almost like, be careful, I says, it's almost like once the siege began, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was inevitable, right? Which is Rashbi's Shita. Well, it's not really Rashbi's Shita, but the idea that once something happens, there's no turning back strikes me as applicable here, right? Why do we fast on the day the siege began? So what? The siege took 18 months. You know, there were all kinds of things that could have happened in between. The sense you get is that sometimes, right, it becomes inevitable. Once this happens, the rest of it somehow, some way is going to play out. And therefore, just like in Rashbi's Shita, you know, Asu Yom Ashmua Ki Yom Asrefa, they made the day that they heard about it as bad as the day that it happened, the opposite is also true. They made the day that it began, the day that the siege began, which again, technically speaking, no one died, nothing terrible happened. It was just the beginning of a siege. But on that day, God spoke to Yechezkel. And I would suggest that on that day, it was as if God knew that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and it's time for the people to start doing tshuva. It's true, they don't know about it yet, and it didn't happen yet. But it's done now. As soon as the siege starts, God assumes, and God treats it as if it's over, as if the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And even before the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, it's time for tshuva. It's time to start making a plan. It's time to start planning to come back again, right? They were only in Golos for 70 years. And so when you ask yourself, you know, why would it be, and we'll do this in a second, why would it be that Asar B'Teves is more chamor than the other fasts? The answer is because Asar B'Teves, on that day, The Beis HaMikdash was essentially destroyed. It lasted for another 18 months. Yeah, it lasted for 18 months. But Lemaisa, God knew on that day that it was over. How do I know that? Because that's the day that Nevuah started again for Yechezkel. And if Nevuah started on that day, it means not that God forgave the people, but that God was giving them a chance to do tshuva. That's my theory. Now let's go on. What's the halacha? So says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 10, Kol Dalid Somot Halalu, Im Cholu Lihiyos B'Shabbos, Nidchin La'achar HaShabbos. Right? Everybody knows. It happens all the time that Tisha B'Av and of course Shivat Shabbos, they always fall out on the same day. Happens many times that they're a Shabbos, and they're pushed off till Sunday. The Mishnah Berurah says, Kol Dalid Somot, Kol Lav Davka. It doesn't mean all the four fasts. De'la'olam ein asara b'tevet chal b'shabbos kimo shekasev. Okay, because he says asara b'tevet can't fall out on Shabbos. So therefore, if asara b'tevet can't fall out on Shabbos, it's not true that all fast days are pushed off if they fall out on Shabbos. It means three of them are, and the fourth, it never happens. Now, it never happens because of the way our calendar is set up. And until we return to Kiddush Al Pi HaRe'iyah, Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaRe'iyah, B'Meheirah B'Yameinu, until that happens, so it's never going to be halacha l'maisa. But nevertheless, right? So it is the only fast that falls out on Friday. Wait, can Tanis Esther fall out on Friday? No. Okay, so, right? It's a bizarre thing. I'm about to go to shul. It's strange to go to shul fasting. And I don't know if Rabbi Shraar is going to speak in shul tonight, but it's a strange thing. You're ready to eat. You're doing Kabbalah Shabbos. You're tired. It's weird. And yet we do it. And presumably, we do it on a Friday because we would have done it on a Shabbos if it fell out on Shabbos. So therefore, Kal Vachomer would do it on a Friday. But is that really true? So here comes one of the most famous Avudra Hamzah ever. It gets quoted by the Beis Yosef, and it's pretty popular. Says the Avudra Ham. Avudra Ham, by the way, was a North African Rishon. Rabbi David Avudra Ham was his name. He lived in the 1200s, so he's really, really early. He wrote the seminal work on the Siddur. All the halachos on Siddur really come from him. V'chilu says in source number 11. V'chiluk yesh beinehem. There's a difference between the four fasts. Sha'ar ba'at hatzomot heim nidchim lefamim kishechalu b'shabbos. Right? The other of the four fasts, the three fasts, when they fall out on Shabbos, they're nidcheh. Chutz me'asara b'tevet she'eino chal le'olam b'shabbat aval hu chal lefamim B'yom Shishi. Okay, he knows that the Asar B'Tevis can never fall out on Shabbos, but it could fall out on Shabbos, on Friday. Umit'anim bo b'yom, and you fast therefore on Friday, like we're doing today. Va'afilu, now here comes the shocking part. Va'afilu hayachal b'Shabbos, lo hayu yicholim lidchoto liyom acher. Even if it fell out on Shabbos, which I guess once we go back to Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaRe'iyah could happen. You cannot be docha asar b'teves. Mipnei shenemar bo be'etzem hayom hazeh. Hey, so Avudraham gives you the halacha and the reason. When it says be'etzem hayom hazeh, that means the day itself is important, and therefore you don't have the authority to move it. Okay? Does this make asar b'teves more important than Tisha B'Av and Shivasar B'Tammuz? I don't know, maybe. It's hard to know. Maybe it's just a technicality, it's just a Gzeiras HaKosov. What's he talking about, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh? So I tried to emphasize this before. It's from the Pasuk in Yechezkel. V'ahid v'Hashem v'shanat shi b'chodesh ha'atzvi b'asal ha'chodesh le'mar, Ben Adam, kisav l'cha et shem hayom hazeh, et etzem hayom hazeh, samach b'al b'ol yishlaim, be'etzem hayom hazeh. So this is Avudraham. When it says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, it means the date is really, really important, and therefore you can't be docha the fast because of Shabbos. Now,
Excuse me,
probably,
Ellie.
yeah.
Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh rings for me Yetziat Mitzrayim. So this is
no. So first
totally
of all, it should ring
opposite.
It should ring for you Yom Kippur first. Source
and
number
also,
12.
Isn't it Bris Brein Hapsarim is also Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh?
I don't think so, but I have ones that are. Don't worry, I'll tell you. 12. The Torah
going into the table.
Yeah, good. First, can we do the puzzle I want to do first? Ki kol ha-nefesh asher lo tu'uneh be'etzem hayom hazeh v'nichrita me'amel. Right? So I would say, yeah, Yom Kippur is not nidcha for Shabbos. So be'etzem hayom hazeh kind of tells us that a fast that's associated with the phrase be'etzem hayom hazeh, like Yom Kippur is not nidcha, that fast should not be nidcha. Okay, we'd still have to deal with the question of why. But it's fascinating that that would be the limud. Okay? But there's another explanation before we sort of talk about the things that really matter. There's another explanation. Look at the Kiryas Sefer, the Mabit, in source number 13. And we'll talk about this for a bit. Venerally, da'afim nomar de'isser tainis b'shabas min ha-Torah. Now we're back to Lenny's question at the beginning, right? Why can't we fast on Shabbos? So Abit says, even if you say that fasting on Shabbos is minat Torah, hainu im hitane laila v'yom. No, that's only if you fast for 25 hours. Deleka inui min haTorah ela laila v'yom. Where he gets this from, I'm not sure. But he says, in the Torah, inui
Yom Kippur.
I know, but why dafka Shabbos is defined by inui as opposed to as defined by, like Henry said before, by the mitzvah of oneg, right? It doesn't say any place it's also to be ma'ana yourself on Shabbos.
Maybe Yom Kippur is called Shabbat Shabbaton and you use inui there.
Okay, a good made up limud, but you could be right. Okay, fair point. V'ra'iti katuv b'shem arash bazal shekatav al arav zal she'ifshar lomar she'savur she'asur litanot b'shabbos min haTorah al inyan nishbash lolecho b'shabbos she'kozol rav zal dahav yishvuos shav. I mentioned before, right, the Rambam thinks that it's an issur d'oraisa to fast on Shabbos. How do you know that? Because he says if you take a neder not to eat on Shabbos, that neder is not chal because it's masna al-mash she'kozol b'Torah, right? That's a shvuos shav. But the bigger point in the Kiryas Sefer is it's only usher to fast for 25 hours. So for example, everybody wants to know, how could it be that you're allowed to have a tainis chalom on Shabbos, right? On Friday night, I have a terrible dream. It's very realistic and, you know, the results are very clear. So the Torah says, so the halacha says, I'm sorry, you could fast Shabbos day. And then the next day you have to fast again at tanit l'tanito. First you fast, then you fast as a tikkun for the fact that you fasted. But there, the explanation seems clear, right? It's not avelus. I'm not fasting for avelus. I'm fasting because I want to do tshuva. I want to make sure that this terrible dream that I had doesn't come true, right? But the Mabit would say, whatever it is, it's not a doraisa issue. You made kiddush Friday night. You had a big Friday night meal, right? When we talk about fasting on Shabbos, is it usur to go 5 minutes without eating on Shabbos? Is it also to have a chavrusa for 2 hours and you don't eat on Shabbos? Of course not. That's not called a fast. You don't have to eat for 25 hours continuously. You're allowed to sleep on Shabbos. You're allowed to do a lot of things on Shabbos. So says the Mabit, really in a piece that's not here, but it's not an issur of anything to fast a 12-hour fast on Shabbos. Maybe it's not oneg Shabbos and we should stay away from it. But when you're just fasting a part of Shabbos, that's different than fasting all of Shabbos. And whatever the Rambam thinks, right, the Rambam says it with respect to a person who fasts for 25 hours. But if you're not fasting for 25 hours, maybe it's not a good idea. But you're not over an Issur D'oraisa, you're probably not even over an Issur D'rabbanan, right? So that could really be the answer to all of our questions, which is, no, you could fast on Shabbos, but it's not called a fast, right? Historically, a fast was to be like Yom Kippur, right? To be like Yom Kippur was 25 hours with all of the with all of the the inuyim being chal. The fast days that we do, including today, the fast days that we do are fakes. You know, it wasn't clear what the halacha was, so we decided, right, when it's a time of shalom, they yom tov. When it's a time of shmad, they are, in fact, mandatory fasts of 25 hours and all the inuyim. When it's neither, it's not shalom, and it's not shmad, then ratzu misanin, ratzu ein misanin. And Klal Yisrael as a whole accepted to fast on the four tzomos, but only you know, during daytime. It's a daytime fast. It's something new that was made up. It never existed before. Which gets me, I wasn't going to talk about this, but now I will, because it's come up in a bunch of places. It's clear we don't live in a time of shalom. First, I'll say this. I'll say, in Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter quotes the Rav as having said, then in the 1940s, in the late 30s and the early 40s, Gedolim in Europe and elsewhere fasted all four fasts as 25-hour fasts. Why? It was a time of Shmad. And the halacha is clear. In a time of Shmad, not just Tisha B'Av, but all four fast days become mandatory, and they become mandatory like Yom Kippur is mandatory. 25 hours, no eating, no drinking, no bathing, no anointing, no tashmish amita, all the things. And I happened to be on the rabbinic alumni list of Gush, where somebody asked, well, what about now? What about now? Do we live in a time of Shmad? We're in a war. It's a disaster. All these bad things are happening. Do we live in a time of Shmad? So nobody wanted to come out and say, you know, yes, let's fast 25 hours. Particularly because it's a Friday. But it's something to think about. Something to think about, you know, what time period do we live in, right? What's happening in the world that we live in? And what can we do about it? And just like, you know, Asu Yom HaShmuk Yom HaSrefa, the Shita we don't paskin like, we have flexibility in terms of how we treat fast days and why we fast. And I think to myself that I'm not really fasting because, you know, 2,000 and something years ago, or close to 3,000, you know, I forget exactly how many, right? Nebuchadnezzar sieged Jerusalem. I'm fasting because I have all these Talmidim in Gaza. And if I need an excuse to fast for them, so this is my excuse. And if I need something to do tshuva for, that's what I'm going to do tshuva for. Yes, the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's not just history. It's part of who we are. And we feel the pain now like we felt it, you know, thousands of years ago. But there's something else going on now that needs immediate attention. And in a way, the idea of fasting on Shabbos, you know, doesn't seem that foreign to me. Of course, it never works out that way, so we'll never do it. But fasting on Friday, the same way, right? We're living in a world where it seems like, you know, God is not really paying attention to our tefillos. It seems like we're not being answered. And every day, you know, they release the names of more chayalim who were killed. And it's exceptionally painful. And so I guess, I wasn't planning to say this, but I guess I'm making a pitch. It's the beginning of the fast for you. You know, have in mind not just the Beis HaMikdash, and not just the beginning of the siege, and not just hearing about the destruction, and not just that Asar B'Teves might be the most important of all the fast days, because that's when our fate was sealed. But have in mind what's going on now. And you know, the only way we could help is by being better. And I'll just quote, I can't quote it directly, but last Motzei Shabbos, there was a levaya for a guy in the yeshiva who was killed in Gaza. And he had just had a daughter who he'd seen just for a few moments of his life. And shockingly, his wife spoke, and she was composed. And she spoke about how, you know, he was a very special guy. But at the end, she basically said, if all of us were better people, if all of us loved Am Yisrael more, if all of us loved Eretz Yisrael more, if all of us weren't making our peace with the Galus and weren't making our peace with what's happening in the world, it would have to help. It would have to be better. So, you know, God willing, on this Asar B'Teves, we should all do tshuva. We should all do our best for our Kodesh Baruch Hu to finally hear our tefillos and to free the captives and to heal the wounded and to return the soldiers and to bring a nechama to the people who've lost soldiers already. Okay, a little depressing, but it's Asar B'Teves. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And next week, we'll get back to regular business.
Amen.
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 Bye-bye.
Amen.
Thank you.